Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it and must be 21 years or older.
Welcome, Extra Points listeners, and congratulations on making it through yet another week. Good news, the weekend awaits with its enchanting promises of endless sports and free time, then ends up with you screaming silently at some jerk in the Costco parking lot instead. Or maybe I'm just projecting. Either way, we know how hard you work, and while we hope listening to all our shows makes that time go a little faster, we don't want that to feel like work in and of itself. So we've had our producers pick out their favorite bits and put them together in a half-hour supercut for you to sample. I know, I can't believe we have producers either. If you like something, check out the full episode the next week wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, thanks for supporting the network. And let me just say from the bottom of my heart as the co-founder that I sincerely hope your favorite team still loses to mine. Enjoy the shows.
For our first clip here during the best of, Matt Verderam joins Dave Damashek on -3 to discuss, well, Dave's favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and if Russell Wilson makes sense to be their future quarterback.
I got to ask you, I know we talk about it every time, but you know, it's not a provincial law that you talk about who you think the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback should be in 2024. It is now a global conversation. My sense is that the Steelers are not lying to anybody and saying Mason Rudolph's team knows that we want him back. He's out there working the market. And that's the crux of the what we're in the midst of. Like, why hasn't Justin Fields moved yet? And why hasn't Russell Wilson landed yet? And why haven't these things happened? Because there are two sides to all these things and they're moving parts around. Well, we've told you as a team, we want Mason Rudolph, but that's not going to inhibit us from going out and getting somebody else if we can make the right deal, but they're moving parts. So people who are declaring coming off of the combine or otherwise, like, this is what I've heard. Like, you don't know because they don't know how that it is fluid on both sides, right? I mean, that's, I know that's rudimentary, but I feel like people struggle to accept that. Is that, well, am I right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you are. I think there's a lot of time, like anytime now that I've worked in this business long enough, whenever I hear somebody either on TV or the radio or even on Twitter, if I read it, somebody says, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I immediately turn it off. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't. I don't care. Look, we all have sources in this industry. I can talk to, you know, a GM or a scout or a pro director, a person like, you don't know. They don't know half the time what's going to happen. Some guy has a change of heart because, you know what, the money's not right. Or his wife doesn't want to move to that city. Or he doesn't want to pull his kids out of school and the kids pulled on his heartstrings 2 days before he signed the deal. You don't know because half the time these teams don't know. The guys don't even know. The reality
it's declarative
is,
statements, though. I think they swing some portion of the consumer out there that they think, well, that guy said that's not going to happen. And that insider said that is going to happen. So I guess you're wrong, aren't you? Like, they don't know themselves. They're making declarative statements because that's the game on this side. If you want to be a hot taker, you wish to be able to point at something and say, see, I told you so, world. And if you're right, you do get points for that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, nowadays, if you're wrong, nobody cares because everybody's wrong. So that's the problem. I think the Steelers are going to go after an upgraded quarterback. I do. I don't think you can go into 2024 and sit there and say it's Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. I don't. I mean, Pickett's done nothing in 2 years to show he can play a quarterback at the NFL level. And Mason Rudolph, to me, is a backup. And he's a decent backup, but he's a backup. Like, if I'm the Steelers, and I know I believe it was Jerry Dulac who put out there that Russell Wilson has a meeting set up tentatively with the Steelers. Said if you want about Russell Wilson, like, he's better than what the Steelers have been trotting out there the last couple of years. And you're going to get him at the vet minimum because Denver's paying the freight. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm fine with that. I also think, look, Fields is an option. Although again, I think right now with Fields, the market's so soft, the teams are going to slow play this thing because the Bears are going to slow play.
I agree. And that's why, but that's specifically when I say the Steelers have announced publicly, Rudolph knows we want him back. That would not stop them from making the Fields move, but they're also not going to make it for a second round pick at this point.
No, and I don't think they should, because I don't think anybody right now is willing to give up a second round pick. So if you're Pittsburgh, you sit there and wait it out. And if I'm the Steelers, look, you can bring back Rudolph and go get Russell Wilson. I mean, it's not like it's some either or thing here. I mean, I need to go within three quarters. All right, but what is Rudolph going to get? Like, realistically speaking, well, how, like, what is the contract going to be for Mason Rudolph?
I predict his market's softer than what he's hoping for.
Nobody's out there like, yeah, you know what we got to get this year, Mason Rudolph.
Well, when Zach Wilson and Russ Wilson become available, that dings Mason Rudolph's market. That's the case, right?
I mean, the other guy who I'm keeping an eye on is Tannehill, because Arthur Smith has a relationship with him dating back to Tennessee, right? And Tannehill's got, look, I don't think Tannehill's going to get a fortune here either. So I think the Steelers get a veteran QB, one way or the other. And that doesn't mean they don't bring back Rudolph, but I think Rudolph, if he comes back, is an insurance policy.
I just completely disagree with the sentiment that Russ Wilson is like, hey, no downside to it. Yes, there is. Sean Payton has told you his team is better off with Jared Stidham and being $85 million in the hole than having Russell Wilson around. That's a pretty big red flag for all the other teams out there.
I agree with you. I would say two things, though, that I know sound conflicting, but I think both are true. One is Russell Wilson last year threw 26 touchdowns and 8 picks. But if you watch him, he was not good.
No, he was not terrible, good. Right? Okay. Don't just look at the numbers.
I watched every snap of him last year. I can honestly say he was atrocious. Yes. Like Denver was right to move off of him and just eat the $85 million. However, at the same time, I would take him over Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. I would.
If he's a robot and plays the way the Russell Wilson robot has played for his career, but he's a human being who is going to bring Russell Wilson and Russell Wilson's world into that locker room that is not in a place that needs to deal with an extra sideshow and controversy. And Kenny Pickett did not like the Mason Rudolph. And we know all those rumors and everything else about how all that went down. How's he going to react to Russell Wilson? And your reaction to that could be like, who cares? If he can't deal with it, then he ain't the man. But Russell Wilson just presents an unnecessary layer and potential melodrama and all the rest.
Maybe. I would say this. So he's going into Pittsburgh. If he goes there, a hell of a lot different than coming into Denver. You know, he goes into Denver, he's the hero, right? He gets traded for a bunch of picks and he's getting $245 million. He's going into Pittsburgh on the vet minimum to a coach. And by the way, when he went to Denver, he went there with Nathaniel Hackett, who had never been a head coach in his life. Mike Tomlin was a little bit different than Nathaniel Hackett. Like, I feel like that Mike Tomlin would be like, look, man, you're coming in here and like, this is what we need you to do. And that's it. And this is your last chance to revive your career. And you're going to do what I tell you to do. And if you're not good with that, then go sign somewhere else. Like, I think that would happen. Where in Denver, he was given, hey, you want to corner off? Yeah, no problem. You want to do high knees on the planes? That's fine. Dude, like, that's not going to fly with Mike Tomlin. And it's just a much different scenario based on how he's coming into the franchise.
I just can't conjure it at the fundamental level that those human beings would see a fit there. On either side. But I know Russell Wilson would like the football situation and probably would vibe to Pittsburgh just fine.
Let's take a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha Full, the word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager. Returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next up here, we're transitioning to the NBA on Lemon Pepper Parlay, where Martin Weiss and Mark Gunnels discuss Bronny James's draft prospects and why his team is saying he's only going to enter the draft if certain teams show interest.
I love Bronny James camp says draft decision is based on team interest. I think that's how all draft decisions are made. Is the team interested? Then they'll take us, right? Like, you know, like, but this is more than like the whole Bronny thing. It's really all just, it goes to show you part of the reason why the NBA is in the place that it is, because for so long it has been trying to find next up. And that's part of the reason why I was just flat out just not hearing what anybody had to say about Victor Wembanyama until he got to the league. Because I was sick about hearing about the next guy up, right? And he just happened to be the next one up this time. And while he's been impressive so far in the NBA, doing things that we have not really, golly, doing things that we have not really seen before on a basketball court, it has not translated to winning in the way that you would like it to translate to winning for a team sport, right? The way that you would like to see a guy. That's what basketball is. A lot of times one guy can transcend a lot of different stuff. Now, the Spurs aren't necessarily asking him to do so in this time period, but we'll see what happens when in fact they do seem to incentivize winning and how everything goes, right? Because there's a lot of no pressure going on right now. But you had Zion was supposed to be the next guy up. And before him, there's always some guy in high school or some guy in college or some guy in France or some guy in Brazil or China or wherever they come from, where it's supposed to be like, this guy is going to come into the league and take it by storm. And I think that right now, that place is kind of void, right? There's no hype train behind anybody right now. And that's why we continue to talk about Bronny James like he's like he would be drafted in the NBA first round if he came out. I'm willing to say he could be a second round. I'm willing to go there. Maybe somebody take a flyer on the talent. I'm willing to go there. But the chances that this one go use a top 30 pick on LeBronny James right now, if his name was Mark Gunnels Jr. instead of LeBron James Jr. is nonsensical.
Yeah, I think he needs to stay another year at USC. I think a lot of people are forgetting about his cardiac arrest before the year. I think that plays a lot of factors in how he's probably playing. Like maybe he's a little timid You know, that's a pretty big thing to go through, you know, right before your season starts. He didn't really have a full offseason. So I think it'd be in his best interest to come back, have a full offseason there, you know, get more acclimated with the program. I think he can increase his stock. You know, normally in situations like this, you know, when guys stay, you're kind of like, why? Because your stock probably won't get any higher than what it is. I don't think that's the case here. I surely do not. And it's not like LeBron is going anywhere anytime soon if that's the ultimate goal of playing together. LeBron could play another 4 or 5 years if he wants to. Hell, he may wait until Bryce comes out into the NBA. And by that time, there'll probably be, you'll better go back from straight out of high school. I think that's already in place, actually, if I'm not mistaken, to happen again pretty soon. And Bryce actually looks like more of a prototypical prospect because he's like 6'7" already or whatever he is. Like, the guy looks more like his father as far as built than Bronny does. So I don't think there's no sense of urgency if I'm Bronny to, I have to enter the draft this year.
I'll say like this, bro. If your stock can't go up after this, then you might be looking to do something else for a career.
You should go nowhere else but up.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mad at it one bit. Go to college for free. Your dad's a billionaire. You can start whatever you want to start. You can do whatever you want to do. Just stay off the podcasting lane. There's enough of us. Right? Don't become some NBA insider. Right? Like, leave that out. Like, we're good. We got enough. Go do something else. Go. How about you go buy it? Go own the team. How about Bronny James, GM of the Las Vegas Raiders? Or Las Vegas Lakers, I should say.
Former NHL goaltender Jamie McLennan joined Saratiana and Dave Damashek on Extra Points, and they ask him, is the L.A. flu real, a.k.a. partying too much in Hollywood?
Is it the same as, like, in the NBA, they talk about the Hollywood flu that you get in between the Lakers and Clippers games that you have when you're playing in Staples Center? I mean, legitimately, I say to my boy, Jean-Claude Van Damashek, when we're going to the Kings game to see them play the Penguins, if it's after they played the Ducks, I'm like, let's keep expectations low. They probably went on a twister last night and they're not going to be in great form tonight.
It's 100%. So you were talking about Florida. You talk about New York, LA, Nashville and Vegas, like some of these destination spots where guys circle on the calendar and go, we're going in there and hockey might get in the way of us having fun. So play the game and get through it. But I was telling the story. I never played guilty. Like, you know, playing guilty is drinking the night before a game. Like, you know, once in a while you have a few drinks, but you dial it back. It's like, okay, you know, we got a game tomorrow. Let's make sure that, you know, we're being professionals because we can go out afterwards. But we were in LA one night and I ended up hooking up with some friends from LA and a couple of the players were with me. And we went to a club and then a few drinks turn into a few more and then it gets ugly. And I remember being in the Hollywood Hills, sitting at a table of like this movie star's place and drinking Crown Royal out of the bottle at like 5 a.m. And we had a morning skate at 10 and we played that night against the Kings. And it's like, it's fine for me because I'm not starting. No problem. Like, I'm not playing. Like, so, and I remember getting the car home. I made it through morning skate. I slept all afternoon, but it's like one of those ones where you're kind of hungover and you can still, like, I can still taste whiskey at like 5:30 PM as I'm putting my gear on and we're playing the Kings that night. So I'm sitting on the bench and we are down like 3-0 early and a fourth one goes in. And the coach is screaming at me and I'm like painting myself invisible going, yelling at me, like I'm trying not to look in his direction. He's like, get in there. So I get in there and I'm just like, at that point, you're praying to the hockey gods. Like, just give me one, like, just let me get hit by the puck. And the first shot went in and I'm like, God, this is not going to go well. And somehow, like, I just got struck by lightning and I made a bunch of saves and we ended up coming back and tying the game.
No.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that part.
This is in the era of ties. So we tied the game, and you know, it ended after overtime. There was no shootout. It's like, okay, we tied. So that night we got a point out of it. And I remember jumping on the plane. I think we ended up flying out. And I was like, I will never do that again. Now, I ended up doing it again, maybe once or twice in my career. But like the guilt that I had and the fear that I had, like the adrenaline in my body going like, I am not drunk, but I am not sober. I'm hungover. I'm still kind of coming out of it. I never did that in my career. And I'm embarrassed to tell this story, but I'm lucky that I got out of it alive. Like basically we didn't lose 12-0 and I embarrassed myself type of thing. So you're talking about.
Yeah. You tied after you tied one on. That's like so impressive.
But you're superstitious. Like, hockey players are superstitious. Why? I would think that based on that success that you would have to get whiskey drunk again. Keep it up until it doesn't work, right?
I wasn't a good enough player to ever try that again. Like there were other guys when I knew it's like, okay, that guy, it's funny. I could watch a game back in the day and I could tell you, I'd be like, that guy is sweating out a dozen beer. That guy has been up to no good. Like you could literally watch a broadcast and I'd be like, that guy didn't make it home before 3 a.m. last night. Like there's certain guys nowadays, it's so different. Like camera phones, these guys are their own little entity. If you look at them, like after a morning skate, it's protein shake, it's take care of my body, stretch out, it's do all these things where, you know, for us in practice, we'd practice in the morning. It's like, okay, where are we going for lunch? We'd all go for lunch. We'd all go for beers. Like it's just a different game. And I would never compare apples to oranges. I was proud of my career. I was proud of what the game used to be. But you look at it, it's evolved into a different type of game now. So I never criticize it because a lot of these guys are just fine-tuned athletes. But there was still a line where I'm like, you got to be able to have fun and enjoy your life. And I don't know if these guys are there yet because a lot of that, they don't allow themselves.
It's like the old days of SNL, you know, like everyone was on drugs. And then like these cast members come back and they're like, everyone's drinking green tea and going to bed, you know, and doing yoga. It's like a very different time.
And let's stop down for a quick break here.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
On -3, Dave Damaschek asked Kevin Hench if his favorite team, the Boston Celtics, will make the NBA Finals, and if they do, who will be their opponent?
The Celtics seem destined to the Finals. I'm not trying to pox you or anything. That's not the conversation. The East right now, it is the West. If you're the Celtics, if we assume they're going to get to the Finals, who do you want? The Nuggets have the shortest odds, obviously, at +195. Clips hovering right behind them at +230. Then it's a mixed bag with the Kings bringing up the rear there among the relevant teams at 40-1. But, you know, Nuggets, Clippers, Thunder, T-Wolves, who scares you the most? Who do you think is the most favorable for your Celts?
I think the Celtics are going to beat the Nuggets in the Finals. Jokic is a cheat code. I don't think that any of those teams you mentioned in the West are going to beat the Nuggets four times. I think, the Celtics' various nemesis in the Eastern Conference are a little down. Barring injury again.
Injuries and all that. I'm not trying to jinx anything.
I think the Celtics come out of the East, and I think the Nuggets come out of the West, and I'm fine with it. I think you shouldn't have to to get lucky and dodge the champs to win your first championship. And I just think that, you know, Bruce Brown was a pretty critical piece of that Nuggets run last year, and he's gone. And so I think the Celtics adding Porzingis and Holiday and the Nuggets losing Bruce Brown, like there's that gap has narrowed. It's funny. One of the first bets I gave out for this NBA season, the Celtics won 57 games last year, added Porzingis and Drew Holiday, and their over under was 55.5. And I told our listeners, hammer that over. They are gonna win more games than they won when they didn't have Porzingis and Holiday. And obviously they're on pace to go get well into the 60s here. And their point differential boosted by the events of Sunday is historic. They're closing in on some really big Bulls 71, 72 Lakers numbers. So, you know, they're so long and they're so athletic when they really dig in, which you assume they will in the playoffs, when they really dig in and double and trap and close out, teams just don't get good shots. Like they, you know, now there are games where they're just kind of jogging, you know, every NBA team has those stretches, but you got to think come playoff time, all, you know, Drew Holiday and Derek White are great defensive players, you know? So, you know, I don't know, like when I would go out for the opening tap, I'd be like, because I didn't look athletic, I would often, the equally unathletic guy would go, I'll take him, the short, unathletic guy. And I'd be like, good, I have their worst defender on me. When the Celtics go out for the opening tap, like you don't want any of them guarding you. They're all a bummer. If you know, for no one's eyes light up when any of the Celtics switch onto them.
I could see them having one of those. Was it 2000 with the Lakers when they lost only the one game? I could see them. I think the time to catch them, to your point, is when you are not beating teams, but you're annihilating most teams that you play. The scariest matchup is round one. Like if you steal the first game, you might spook the Celts. I think if they get on a little bit of a roll, they're gonna, you know, steamroll the East, and the first real scary team that they're gonna face will be in the finals. Although, you know, who knows with the Heat and playoff Jimmy and all that, what might happen. And I really swung and missed on this Eastern Conference in the NBA. I thought Milwaukee was going to be something akin to what the Celtics are, not the other way around. All right.
Well, Damian Lillard is 137th in the NBA in 3-point percentage.
It's crazy,
insane.
Right?
It's insane. Yeah. So
you would think that there would be mutually beneficial to Giannis and to him, but somehow it hasn't worked out. Sometimes that just doesn't take. I don't know.
And to round out this best of, we have a nice long chunk here from Trendy with Toby Mergler and Nate Lundy discussing some of their favorite NHL futures bets.
Nate, you are someone who follows the puck very closely. And every once in a while, when we have somebody on here who loves hockey as much as you do, we like to look at the futures bets. Because yes, you know, on a Tuesday night, anything can happen. The puck can bounce the wrong way. You can lose your bets, whatever it might be. But when you look over the long term, I want to know which bets you are favoring as we get closer and closer to the playoffs.
So I think, I like it. Let me throw a couple out there. First of all, in full disclosure, I have a ticket from about 60 days ago that I put together in part because I had a free bet. If you've followed me a lot, you know that it's what I like to do with free bets. Brad will tell you I hate doing futures because I don't like tying up my money. I'm not a fan, but I will do it sometimes if I get awarded a free bet, because to me that's a, you know, take a shot, see what happens, and just park it somewhere and see if maybe you can help your bankroll down the road. So about 60 days ago, I put together a parlay for the two final teams to meet in the cup to be the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights. I just, you know, had kind of a gut feel. I'm like, well, let me kind of see where this goes. And I threw that together. And like I said, I think I was sitting on like a free $20 bet or something like that. And I figured, you know, what the hell? And part of the reason I say that is somewhat blind is anything can happen, right? A goaltender gets hot. We've seen that historically. But also because you're waiting for the trade deadline. And that's what we're dealing with right now. Yesterday was an extremely active day in the NHL. Today has been another day of either talking trades or making trades or rumors going on in the league. Used to be that everything was fast and furious on trade deadline day. Now we're starting to see that happen in the weeks leading up because teams don't want to wait to where they're under the gun and they're trying to make some decisions. So I did that one earlier. I don't know how much I trust the Golden Knights and in particular what's happening between the pipes for them, but I will tell you that has been there, done that squad. Obviously, from a championship standpoint, they've done it. And these guys are veterans. They know what they're doing. So do my Colorado Avalanche. They know what they're doing, despite the fact that they still don't have their captain in Gabe Landeskog. And the likelihood of him making it back for the playoffs is very slim. So you put all of those things together, and it's tough for me to pick somebody from a pure cup standpoint. I will tell you that I disagree completely right now with the idea of the Edmonton Oilers being the short favorites. I do not see them being able to contain a team. I don't trust them on the blue line. Yes, I know they can score. Yes, I know what they can do with Hyman and with Dreisaitl and with McDavid. I get it, but I do not trust them when it comes to their defensive pairings, and I think that there are teams in the NHL that can expose them. I'm impressed, frankly, and I know I'm biased. I know this sounds like a heart pick, but I'm really impressed with what the Avs did yesterday. I think going out and getting Mittelstadt was a big move. I think getting Walker was a big move for them, even though it means that they had to sacrifice Bo Byram, who was their fourth overall pick back in 2019. I think they recognize that they have a very crowded blue line and that it was going to be difficult for Bo Byram to, frankly, realize his potential. And so they traded him away and they got some good assets for it. So I like what the Avs did. And I really appreciate the fact that they are trying to go all in with or without the captain. That said, I continue to believe this is a pick, that about 10 days ago was negative odds. You were giving up the juice. Nathan McKinnon's on another planet right now, folks, in terms of what he's doing. And the fact that you can get him anywhere from plus 175 to plus 220 to win the Hart. Again, this is a guy that you were giving juice about a week or two ago because he was a heavy favorite. Now Austin Matthews has taken the favorite. Both of those guys, by the way, at plus odds. But I witnessed it firsthand with my own eyes. I was at the game last night between the Avs. The game that they had last night against the Red Wings here in Denver. He's got another gear. He's just got one of those things. Jerry Rice had that back in the day too, where just all of a sudden he had a sixth gear that wasn't normal that he would just take off in. And I think McKinnon has that same thing. And I'm not trying to disparage Austin Matthews. He's a hell of a lot of fun to watch. But I would take Mac at plus odds right now to win the Hart.
Yeah, so putting some numbers behind what you're saying, Nate, over at Caesars, Mac is plus 160, Austin Matthews is plus 140, and then you've got some guys plus 300, plus 330, Kucherov and McDavid, and then everybody after that, it's a real long shot. Do you think this is now a two-skater race, or do you think that Kucherov and McDavid have any chance? Because otherwise, if you get two plus money bets and you grab both of them, then you turn a profit.
Yeah, you could wind up doing that. The thing that I could see happen with McDavid is if he goes on another one of those runs, because, you know, let's face it, when it comes to voting time, we want to say that these folks are going to analyze the whole season and all of that. But look, when it comes to voting, there is a factor of what have you done for me lately? And if all of a sudden McDavid gets hot, I could see it turn into a three-horse race. But if you look at what Austin Matthews has done since the calendar turned over to February, in terms of his scoring in particular, and that's the reason that I think that you're seeing Matthews at a shorter number than you are McKinnon is because Matthews is more of a goal scorer. McKinnon is a points guy, but he's going to do it in terms of apples. He's going to do it with assists. And you even saw that last night against Detroit. And so if it's about goals, then you got to think that that's the reason why Matthews has the short number, especially with as hot as he's been since February and certainly since the All-Star break. McKinnon's putting up points. Last night makes it 31 straight home games with a point. He has a point in every home game this season. There is only one player in history that has done that, and that's Gretzky. That's it. It's the only person who's ever gone through a season with a point in every home game. And if Mac does it, he will technically set the record because when Gretzky did it, it was only an 80-game season, not an 82.
Yeah. And I mean, I think great little tidbits like that do go into voters' minds as they can kind of anchor to something that's historical and have it sway their vote a little bit. Looking back on the team side, I have a question for you as you start to handicap the playoffs, because you ran through a bunch of teams. Colorado is plus 1,000 to hoist the cup. Vegas is plus 950. Florida is plus 750. The Oilers, who you sound like you were fading, are plus 650. When you start handicapping, what is it you look most at? Is it form over the entire season? Is it like current form for the last, you know, month before the playoffs? Or do you look more at like previous playoff experience? Because the Oilers plus 650 have obviously had this same talent base for a while now, but never seem to make any noise come when it gets a little bit warmer, come closer to the summer. And then you look at somebody like Boston, who is a juggernaut, who obviously had a huge season last year, is a chance to win the President's Cup this year, but they're all the way back at plus 1,100. So they seem to be penalized for flaming out last year, but the Oilers are not being penalized for never having really made any noise.
I think there's a few things that I'm going to look at. First and foremost, I care about goaltending. It is the single most important position on the ice, especially in the playoffs, where these teams start to play a little tighter. We see that oftentimes we see lower scoring contests. We tend to see fewer foolish penalties, things like that. You just see teams play smarter. So goaltending matters to me. And it's one of the reasons why, I'll be honest with you, it's one of the reasons why I'm nervous with my Habs. Georgiev has looked really good this season, but backup goaltending, I know Eustace Annan has back-to-back shutouts, but I mean, one of them was against the Blackhawks. And, you know, the Blackhawks are Connor Bedard and a lot of nothing right now. They're going to get better, but there's not a lot to it. I mean, I'm not saying I could shut out the Blackhawks, but I'm saying a lot of goaltenders, including some in the AHL, could shut them out. So I don't put a lot of weight into it. So goaltending makes me nervous. It's why I brought up what I brought up with Vegas. Although I think if somebody gets hot, somebody can manage to get hot. I do care about playoff experience. You brought that one up. That matters to me a lot. I think there's value sitting there right now with Boston. But when you talk about the teams with the odds, look at the crowded nature of the Eastern Conference right now. As an example, we can talk about Florida and we can talk about the Rangers and we can talk about Boston, but it's kind of like, other than Florida jumping out a little bit, everybody's sort of hovering right around that plus 1,000 plus 1,100 number. So if I'm trying to handicap it, I'm looking at that. I'm also going to look at one other factor that you didn't bring up, and that is regular season. I want to see your home and road splits. I want to know that you can actually perform on the road, because that is a big time factor when we are talking about playoffs. Because, you know, you can look at the Habs right now, for example, and this is a squad that, you know, they're not going to wind up with an overall number one in the West. I don't think they're going to catch that. So now you're going to start to look at a team and say, can they win on the road? And so that is a factor that I look at big time. Goaltending is number one for me. Experience is number two. And the home road splits are third, because I believe to make a run, to be able to hoist the cup, you need to be able to win, not just once or what, you got to be able to win a couple of times on the road, because chances are you're not going to be perfect at home.